Welcome back to the narrow pod between pages, where we read The Narrow Road Between Desires page by page and then talk about it. This is page number 127. Rubbed backwards. He felt around inside himself and found what he knew would be true. The only obligations binding him were old, familiar things, most barely more than scars. Some few resembling wounds old soldiers had. A shoulder that grew stiff with cold, a knee that ached when rain was on the way. But nothing new. It was galling, as he'd been pleased how tidily he'd slid from underneath the unexpected dangers of the day. So why, then, did he feel more turned against himself than ever, rucked up and tugged a dozen ways? Finally, he pulled out the leather sack. He stilled himself, closed his eyes, and pulled a full fist of embrolls, tossing them up with a fluid, flippant grace. He heard them hit the earth like hail, and opened his eyes to study them. A crescent of white horn, an oval of dark wood laying partly on top of the painted piper dancing on a piece of glazed white tile. There was a candle etched into an oblong stone, a disc of clay, the flat green stone he'd traded from the baker's boy. There was a galloping, sunbright bit of brass, and once again, the one that looked very much like an old iron coin. Soon, the sound of Kostril and his two big boots came up the hill to stand beside him. The boy folded his arms at the end of the page. I'm Joy.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm RJ.
What a cliffhanger to end the page on.
That was funny. I was just thinking about how it's funny to start the page on rubbed backwards.
It's uncomfortable, and Bast is also feeling uncomfortable.
He is.
Rucked up and tugged a dozen ways.
That's a great sentence. I also liked to read... Full fist of embrolls, toss them up with a fluid, flippant grace.
Yeah, lots of Fs.
We get flippant one other time in the books, at least, when Quoth is trying to come up with names for Master Ash and says, like, Frederick the Flippant or something.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
Which always stood out to me as such a weird name to name anyone.
It was. Yeah, fluid grace doesn't, don't they say Cinder had a fluid grace as well? I mean, that.
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
Frederick the Flippant is correct.
And that is in the section, did you say this, where they're talking about Master Ash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming up with names.
Yeah, so those are three. Considering the ties people have made to Master Ash and Cinder, and the fluid grace tied to Cinder, that's three very interesting words to me to put together. Like, I don't think Pat is trying to lead us in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are certainly in the page. With the not quite a triptych, right? But the three times of day when Bast is like breaking the time loop with Reich on top of the hill, he looks a bit like Cinder to me in that drawing on 99. Just like the sharpness of his face and the kind of balefulness of his gaze, but.
In the dark eyes.
Those are perhaps two polar opposites. I just like to look for little comparisons, even if they're tiny, and then talk about them for way too long. So someone else can jump in at any time.
So I was flipping back to the beginning of the chapter to see if the embrolls mentioned here are the embrolls at the above the chapter title Afternoon Still, but they are not.
Yeah, I also was looking at that. None of them seem to match. Maybe they'll be on the next chapter title. But we're not allowed to look ahead, so.
Right, we can't.
I thought I've seen the painted piper dancing. I think maybe that was... We've seen
a couple chapters ago.
A little bit ago, yeah.
Not on this one. We've got some, like, bunnies and some, like, holly and an eye.
The candle on the stone is definitely at noon. On page 89.
In any case, it's not depicting that pull of emeralds that he does here. Mm-hmm. Which was my question in any case. He's trying to calm himself by seeing what the emeralds have to say, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, and we get him doing this a lot, but we don't really get any explanation as to what they mean. They're just, he does it, and then that's it.
Well, Horn, it may show a deep and lasting enmity.
Right.
If it's a ring, anyway.
It's half a ring.
That's a crescent, so who knows?
So maybe.
A couple of these don't have anything on them.
Yeah.
We'll say we are noticeably more than halfway through the book when I look at the pages.
And we're in afternoon, so I suppose that's about right. An afternoon's worth.
Do you have any guesses to what the rest of these mean?
No, I don't really know what they mean. I just noticed that galling is on this page twice, which is an unusual word. Yeah, it's galling. It should be three times.
Why can't you make it a nice three? Yeah, I think it's just that's just meant to show how uneasy he is, and he's not. Like, right. He has to keep checking. Like, I'm good, right? I'm good. There's nothing. Yeah. No obligation in there.
Yeah, I suppose the description of obligation does certainly warrant a mention. His old obligations being like scars or old wounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us could probably relate to that sense of just something that you've learned to live with.
Yeah. There's definitely things like that. And things that, as someone who has been in therapy, that you discover some things about yourself when you're doing that kinds of thing, being introspective. And sometimes it does feel very much like an old scar.
It does. And I'm just kind of curious, other than what we know of his obligation to Quoth, what other obligations he has binding him.
Mm-hmm. What obligation do you think he has to Quoth?
I'm not sure. I think he feels some obligation to stay with him and protect him for some reason.
We wish we knew the answer.
That we wish we knew the answer. I guess I just kind of assume he has an obligation to him, because why else would you stay with him?
Interesting. I didn't think he had any obligation in that sense of the word. Just that he wanted to learn some things from him. I mean, Quoth did threaten to send him away when he was fighting with Chronicler.
I feel like maybe obligation isn't the right word. I think I just kind of have a feeling that Bast needs Quoth or something. Or just needs him to be something. in order for Bass to get what he wants, or I don't know, that he's tied to Kvothe in some way. Because I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely possible.
I don't know. I just, when this question came up, now I just really want to know. I just want to know.
I just want the answers.
What is their relationship? It's really unclear, considering like how much time we get with these characters.
Other than teacher-student.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does seem like there's more going on than the master-student relationship. This is different from Ben and Kvothe's relationship.
Right.
Right. Most great masters aren't necessarily innkeepers as well during part of their tenure and have one student and then...
And are like 175 years younger than their student.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
But, I mean, after Kvothe's time in the ADEM, we don't know what he thinks about appropriate relationships with students are, and after all of this stuff passed, we don't really know anything about anything, although I don't think that's Kvothe's jam.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't picture that as being part of their relationship, but I have no idea.
It just came to me just now. Yeah, I don't know anything. But I'm very curious. I'm very curious.
I think plenty of other people have thought that. And I think this episode's getting a little long. So anything else on 127?
No. We can question the sexuality of our listeners on tomorrow's narrow page.